Who will play the next Black Panther?
Oh, I think they're actually going to retire the role. But if they were going to keep it, I need to think about that. Who would you think
There's
should?
a guy by the name of top of my head. It was Mackie, Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie? You think he could be Black Panther?
Yes,
I
he's
love
up and
Anthony
coming.
Mackie. Let me say that. No, he's not up and coming in my book. Like, I love Anthony Mackie. I know what he's been in. He's been in
Hurt Locker.
no, he's talking about She Hate Me, the Spike Lee joint, and then my favorite, The Adjustment Bureau. Yeah, you know, like he was also in, I think that was him in The Misadventures, or I forgot what, of Mr. and Pete. I don't know if you've seen that film. It's really
No,
phenomenal.
but he's
I'm
been in a
gonna.
ton of movies, a ton
Yeah,
of
exactly.
movies.
He's amazing, but I don't know if I want to see him as Black Panther.
But I could see him, and who will, I mean, I tried to think about who would could if they, and I think they will do a part two because they know it's going to make money.
So, episode three. Are you ready? All right, so this week, third time's a charm, we're going to change up our check-in section and we're introducing a segment called What's Still Cooking. And we're going to review some stories that we've come across since the last time you heard us, and they're still cooking for us. So, DJ, what did you find?
So one of the stories that I really am excited about is this new documentary about Tina Turner, the legendary Tina Turner, the Queen of Rock and Roll. And it's set to premiere on HBO March 27th. It's titled Tina. And it's going to be a documentary that really focuses in on her life after Ike. And what's so amazing about the timing of this, she's actually a nominee for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I still can't
So,
believe that she's not in it already.
it's kind of shocking, but actually she's already in it. She was inducted in 91
Okay.
along with Ike Turner, but this
Oh.
time it's just by herself.
Awesome.
So, that's pretty, I can't wait. So March 27th on HBO. And Lady Gaga's dog walker. And this is a sad story, but with a happy ending somewhat. Was robbed by a few men on 9:40 p.m. Wednesday, February 24th. They stole two of her French bulldogs, two of her three French bulldogs. During the process, they during the shuffle of with her dog walker, they actually shot him in the chest, and he
Wow.
was in critical condition. Immediately rushed to the hospital. The thieves drove away in a Nissan Altima. And Lady Gaga, when she found out about it, I'm quite sure she was heartbroken, but she did offer a reward for the finding of the dogs, a $500,000 reward.
Wow.
And the next day, a lady found those two dogs latched to a pole. This all happened in New York. I'm sorry, in Hollywood. So I just it's kind of weird that this it's like
Yeah.
this really classy, I guess, area in Hollywood. This is going on. I mean, crime happens everywhere, I guess. And so, but her dog walker is now stable,
Okay.
and that's great. I mean, being shot in the chest.
Wow.
And she got two dogs back, but the perpetrators are still on the loose.
Well, I hope they get found.
And the police were saying they don't think Lady Gaga was necessarily targeted for this abduction, but lately there's been a lot of robberies for these kinds of dogs. These French bulldogs are very high on the market. And there's been a lot of frequent targets for theft for them because it's the fourth most popular breed in the country. So a lot of dog nappers are picking these dogs.
Wow. Well, I found two things that are still cooking for me. I'll get through them quickly so that we can get on to the show. But speaking of dogs, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had some words to say about NYPD's new robotic dog. She tweeted about the 70-pound canine, which is equipped with lights, two-way communication, and video cameras, along with the ability to climb stairs and run about 3.5 miles an hour. It was tested in her home of the Bronx 2 weeks ago, And she tweeted, shout out to everyone who fought against community advocates who demanded these resources go to investments like school counseling instead. Now robotic surveillance ground drones are being deployed for testing on low-income communities of color with under-resourced schools. Please ask yourself, when was the last time you saw next-generation world-class technology for education, healthcare, housing, et cetera, consistently prioritized for underserved communities like this? Mm. I know, it's shameful. On another note, I am looking forward to the weekend. This weekend, when people hear this, it would have already come out. But the sequel for Coming to America is debuting on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So it came out on Friday, March 5th. It follows up the famed 1988 comedy and stars members from the original cast, including Eddie Murphy, of course, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones, who I'm really looking forward to seeing again on screen, Sherry Headley, Paul Bates, and John Amos. And Eddie Murphy's 19-year-old daughter, Bella, is going to make her debut.
Wow, I can't wait for that.
Your favorite quote from the original?
I have two favorite quotes. The first one is... sexual chocolate.
Of course.
And there's another scene where the boyfriend, you know, the guy who's actually with the Soul Glow hairstyle, he's actually
Eric LaSalle.
Yeah, okay, that's his name.
That's the actor.
So he's talking to Eddie Murphy's character, and I guess there's some kind of party they're having, and he looks at Eddie Murphy and he says, women just want to be told what to do.
That's one of your favorite quotes. That's very telling, DJ.
Yeah, because how he says it, my sister always throws this at me all the time when there's a aggressive man, like some guy she's dating or whatever, and he's like, you know, just want to be told what to do.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let's get ready to get into the show. You ready to get into our first topic?
Yes, the first topic.
All right. So this is something that you found, and yeah. I want to talk about it, but it's almost like, why do we have to? But let's go ahead and do it. So if you are one of the lucky people who were fortunate enough to not know the name Rachel Dolezal, congratulations. But Rachel Dolezal is a woman who was the former president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington. She was a college instructor and an activist. She went to Howard University for her master's in fine arts. And for most of her life to the world, she was a Black woman. Until June 2015, when it was revealed that she was born to white parents. Mm-hmm. Recently, she has entered the news again, as she has had a hard time now that she has been exposed, and she's getting a taste of the full Black experience. She was a guest on the Tamron Hall show and shared that she had been unemployed for the past 6 years. She's gone as far as to change her name to Nkechi Amare Diallo.
Oh, that's beautiful.
No comment. And she braids hair and paints to make a living. She used to describe herself as transracial. So
yeah.
What do you think, DJ?
I saw her documentary on Netflix called The Rachel Divide. Mm-hmm. And I felt sorry for her sons because they are, you know, Black men, you know. Especially when you get pulled over by the police. And I do feel that she is emotionally imbalanced. There's something off about this woman. For her to, I mean, during the documentary, they were even saying to her, you know, do the good work, but you're not Black. Why do you need to go as far as to say that you're Black? You're not. And that's the problem that those women in that documentary had with her, but she couldn't face that. That she like, I get to choose my race. So it's like, you don't get to choose that.
Yeah. I saw the documentary too, and I have no recollection anymore of what was in it.
You just forgot.
I don't have the mental space to hold that. What's interesting is that, you know, when we said that we were going to talk about her on today, this this episode, I remembered that there are other people like Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So there is, in a way. So there was recently Jessica Krug, who was exposed. Well, actually, she exposed herself. She was a professor at George Washington University, and she had pretended to be Black, even though she was a white Jewish kid from suburban Kansas City.
Wow.
So that came out last September 2020. But when I was thinking about what I had to say about Rachel Dolezal, I remembered this very, very curious person. Her name is Martina Big, and I don't know if you've ever heard of her, no. But I remember when I spent more time on Facebook, I came across her story, and she's a German model and actress known for extensive body modification.
Okay.
So German. So she's white. She has blonde hair. At least that's how she was born, right?
Okay.
So the reason why she came to fame is for her extremely large breast implants. She has the biggest in the world. And in addition to her breast augmentation, she's undergone medical treatments to turn her skin black and alter her hair. So the latest development on her, so this was years ago that I heard about her, right? She spent all of this money, her and her husband supports her and all of this. The latest development is that in 2019, she moved to Kenya with her husband and has taken on the lifestyle and the faith. And she says, I not only look like an African woman, I also feel that I am now an African woman. So we'll link in the show notes to that story because there's a video so you can see her and hear her.
Okay.
But like it's almost ridiculous to me because she says that her and her husband, who's also now gotten the melanin injections.
So her husband is also white?
Yes, he's German as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so two white people who are now living in Kenya are hoping to have a Black child together.
Okay, now how are two white people going to produce a Black child?
That's beyond me. As much as Rachel Dolezal is beyond me.
Well, I would love to have her on the show, on our podcast.
I would veto it all the way. I'll tell you why.
Why wouldn't you want Rachel Dolezal on the show?
No, that's a no. That's like a solid no. But what you're hearing from me, the frustration and the anger that you're hearing from me,
okay,
is because of her blatant misuse of her privilege, her denial of her privilege. I don't feel sorry for her. I have compassion, like you said, for her sons. And I do agree that there's something off about her because she has the ability to make their lives different and better. And she refuses to, you know, because like I remember when she first was exposed, it was almost like, well, wait a minute. Okay, so she was actually, you know, on our side. She worked for the NAACP.
Right.
She would be doing all of these talks about Black hair, you know, like she was doing the things that Black activists do.
Yeah, that makes sense. That part makes
sense. No, it doesn't make sense because you can do that as a white person.
No, what I'm saying is what makes sense is doing that work makes sense, but when you go as far as to say that you're now African-American, that's when you cross the bounds.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But so my disgust is that her abuse of her privilege didn't actually help the Black community or humanity in total, because I believe that if she had acted from the space as a white woman, she could have made more change to white supremacy. I feel like she inverted her white supremacy to change her racial identity for whatever reason. You know, there's stories and I think maybe in the documentary they talked about that she had a troubled childhood. I understand that. I have compassion for that. But changing your racial identity to co-opt spaces that do not belong to you, even if you're doing the work, that is not being an ally. That is not furthering the movement. That's not what that is. And so I don't have understanding for it. And to me, it feels insulting and it feels demeaning, I think, to all of the Black activists, because the NAACP was started with white people and Black people.
True.
It's not like she didn't have a space there.
Right.
But you don't have to pretend and lie to people about who you are.
That's exactly true. I agree with that definitely. that what she does, like her total thing, a vibe, is demeaning. I agree with that. I do feel sorry for her. I really do. The reason why I feel sorry for her is because she really wants to be helpful, but there's a tick in her that has taken it to a whole nother extreme. And with that extreme, like you said, is not helpful at all, you know? And I think she needs to get it to a therapist. Even in her documentary, a black woman there said to her, "Get it, honey, see a therapist." And I don't know if she has or not, but I think that she's a little ticky, ticky, boom. And one thing that one black woman said in that documentary, she said that how can you help black people accept themselves if you haven't accepted your own race?
Absolutely. I think it's a way to escape what it means to be white. And I mean, I could actually make the argument for what's going on with her. You know, I don't recommend that people do this, even though I'm about to do it, because I have no idea how she got to be where her safety and her identity is in claiming a black racial identity. But I think a lot of white people actually do this in a way to avoid the pain of accepting what it means to be white in terms of the legacy of being white, and owning the atrocities that have been done by white people. That if she was treated poorly by her parents,
probably so. I can feel that.
She doesn't also want to be white, but that doesn't.
Yeah, she got mommy daddy issues.
That's just not the way it works. That's just not the way it works.
I can tell she has mommy daddy issues. Mm-hmm. you can clearly see that. Yeah. And her mother and father, who dined her out.
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly. Exactly. They have a troubled relationship. That's clear. But I also think it speaks to the continued conversation of how the world enjoys the rhythm, but doesn't want the blues. But Rachel's experiencing the blues because she is still claiming to be a black woman. I think, you know, I mean, because like,
it makes you angry.
I get so angry because even in her being a black woman, mm-hmm. she still benefits from the privilege of having fair skin, you know, the colorism mm-hmm. that still exists. She doesn't acknowledge that. You know, so it's just.
Yeah, I think one of your issues would be, I could be wrong, that I think listen to a lot of women, the reason why they get frustrated with people like Rachel Dolezal is because they put black on like it's a fad. And then when it's no longer in fashion or trending any longer, they can just take it off and go back to their white life. Mm-hmm. So that's the issue that people have with that black scent, people taking on Afrocentric identities and then taking it off when it's no longer cool any longer.
Right. What I want to say is I agree with that. Like everybody wants to be black until it's time to be black. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is problematic.
Paul Mooney actually said it, you know, but I'm not going to repeat it, what he said.
What I will say is that I think what we can learn from Rachel Dolezal, what Rachel Dolezal has to teach white people is the appropriate and inappropriate ways of being an ally. And so Harvard Business Review has an article that I will put in the show notes called Be a Better Ally. And they have like several ways to do that. And I'm just going to highlight three. One is own your privilege. That's something she didn't do. Two, bring diversity to the table. So instead of bringing other black women into the fold or bringing black people into places that she probably could access as a white woman, she just took the space by becoming a black person. So don't do that. And then sponsor marginalized coworkers. If you are in spaces and your coworkers aren't, and they're marginalized, bring them or mentor them or speak their name in rooms that they'll never get into without your support. So I think that allyship is one thing, co-opting is another. And we need to move towards having better allies.
So you feel she's been a co-opt?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, God bless her. God bless her sons, because they're the ones who's carrying the real weight of all of her decisions, mm-hmm. bad decisions.
Yeah. So what's your breakdown?
My breakdown is I feel very sorry for Rachel Dolezal. And again, like I said, for her sons, that's very sad. And I think she suffered from mental illness. And I think that she has not definitely recovered from whatever bad experiences she had as a white child with her parents, obviously. And I think that that her inability to accept that she's white just totally defuncts her ability to help black people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say that Rachel Dolezal is an example of how not to be an ally. But she also proves why there is a need for whiteness studies, why there is a need to talk about what whiteness is, and the beauty of being black, that everybody wants it, but you don't want to appreciate black people. So I think it's a call to the world that you not only of not only the beauty of black culture gets to be revered, but black people also get to be revered and protected. So we need people in places of power and privilege to be allies. And I will say black, because even in the people of color movement and all of that, anti-blackness is real. So that's my breakdown.
Okay. I like it.
All right. You ready for the Make You Laugh segment?
Yes, make me laugh.
Okay, so I found a couple of really odd stories. And one, I actually saw something related on Instagram right before we started recording. But the Swansea Police Department in Illinois posted on their Facebook page a photo with the caption of missing chicken. Although it was actually, according to the comments, a missing guinea fowl. They described it as loud, belligerent, non-cooperative, foul smelling, won't leave. They are looking for anyone missing a guinea fowl to get in touch with them. And so right before we got started, I saw one of my Instagram friends posted about the local news in her neighborhood, and someone had spotted and what they thought was a loose ostrich
that was wow.
Exactly, but actually it's not an ostrich, it's an emu. And the difference, exactly, the difference is about the number of toes on the ostrich and the emu. And then one runs 10 miles per hour faster than the other. And the police department in that situation said that, you know, the only people who know the difference of that is animal control, and we're not. So if you're missing an emu, to please contact us. So all of these interesting pets and animals are happening.
I want to see an emu and an ostrich race each other.
So now that makes me wonder if Coyote was always Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm. Was it actually ostrich?
Right. Or was it an emu? Right. You know, it was interesting though, when I saw the story about the guinea fowl, on the Nextdoor app, I don't know if you use the Nextdoor app, but no. So there's an app it's a social media platform, but it's for your neighborhood, so you can know what's going on in your community and things like that. But recently, someone posted on Nextdoor in my neighborhood in Washington D.C. that they were missing their hen, like what? Their okay. hen. But what was even more crazy was that one of the comments said, "I hope your chick comes back home. Too many predators out. One morning I went to walk my dogs. I will never forget it. It was a chicken laying in the middle of the street with no head."
And wow.
I'm just thinking of all the things.
But I had a funny joke that I read that is, you know, the joke was why the chicken crossed the road, you know? Why
why did the chicken cross the road?
With the first story you just said. It was just too funny, you know?
Why did the guinea fowl?
Yeah. Actually, now I saw your story. I scrolled down. I saw someone who asked that question. It was just too funny.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Cross the, yeah.
All right. Another odd story. It's no longer happening. It happened earlier in February, but Paul Luger's Steakhouse have the wax figures mingle with patrons to promote the easing of coronavirus restrictions. So you could have a cocktail with Draper from Mad Men, and also Michael Strahan, Jimmy Fallon, Al Roker, and Audrey Hepburn were present in the restaurant. Can you imagine going to dinner?
That's kind of creepy to
I
me.
know, right? Can you imagine going to dinner and at the table next to you, there's like a figure that never moves?
Right. They're like Al Roker.
Right?
I saw the picture. I said that because I thought it was Al Roker when I first saw the picture. I went,
That's like horror
oh.
movie thing. That's not appetizing to me. It doesn't feel inviting.
I didn't see anyone in the restaurant when I saw the article. I'm like, this is not working.
Yeah, that was interesting. So those are just some odd stories that I found. I was like, what, where are we in the world now? All
Topic
right.
two.
Yeah, you ready to get to the next topic?
Yeah, this is exciting to me. I mean, Chad Bozeman passed away last year, and people were heartbroken by that because he was beloved. And but
Absolutely.
he was nominated for a Golden Globe for best supporting, well, best actor in a motion picture. A drama, and he won. He won actually the Golden Globe. The 78th Golden Globe Awards was held Sunday the 28th, and in Beverly Hills, and he won. And I'm just so happy for his family because that definitely, I'm quite sure, gives them some kind of I won't say peace of mind or anything like that, but it helps. So I'm glad that they gave him that, and he did an absolutely awesome performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom,
Absolutely.
and I mean riveting.
Yeah.
So if we had a chance to see more work from him, we would have saw some. I'm quite sure, Oscars and things like that from him. And he still might get that Oscar, when those nominees are eventually given out. So, what do you think about him winning?
I think that's awesome. I heard someone describing today the actual award ceremony. I didn't see it, but they were saying that they did like a segment right before they announced him winning, where they had like kids of all races and ages, and they were asking them like facts about the world and the country or the news, like where's the White House and things like that. And none of the kids knew anything. But
Wow.
when you ask them, who's Chadwick Boseman? They all said Black Panther. Black Panther.
Wow.
Like they all knew that. I know, right? And when the way you're saying why not, like it, I just like, oh my gosh, I wish I'm gonna have to like try to find that to see if it's available to see. Cause I got chills when I heard that. And I was just like, wow. I'm really glad that he won, especially for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I watched it three times. Like the first time I watched it, the movie ended and I turned it back on again. I'd never done that
Wow.
before, but I was just so moved by his performance, especially. I thought he was really phenomenal, but I'll also never forget going to see Black Panther and just all the hype around that. Like I got dressed up in my African garb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Did you?
No, I did not. I saw it in the theater, but I didn't. I didn't know what to expect because I would just felt like, okay, I'm gonna go to watch another movie. And then when I went, oh, this is a movement,
Yeah, it was a real movement. I remember that. Like people were going and Wakanda Forever. And that was a big thing. It was a great film. Have my critiques of it, but Chadwick was great. I also, I looked at some of his big films that he's been in. He was in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He was also in Spike Lee's The Five Bloods. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that was actually pretty good. I would check that out. He was Thurgood Marshall in Marshall, and I remember seeing that in the theaters as well. That was good. He was James Brown in Get On Up. He was Jackie
Yeah, I did see
Robinson in
that.
42. And he also did some TV stuff, Nathaniel Ray on Lincoln Heights. So he did a lot of stuff. But what's interesting is that he went to Howard University, HU. I'm just pausing for all of the bison to go ahead and do their thing. But but he didn't go to school for acting. He was in school for directing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I remember, I think I heard something about he got into acting, but he was going for directing, but it wasn't like acting was he really, you know, what he was focused on doing.
Uh-huh.
So it's amazing that, you know, he was able to do so much and do so well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Meryl Streep's kind of like that. She didn't go to school for acting either. She went to school for costume.
Meryl Streep?
Yeah, she went to school for costume, not for acting.
Wow, because that is an actor. Okay.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to work out the way that you know, and to become great. And,
Absolutely.
You know. So, who will play the next Black Panther?
Oh, I think they're actually going to retire the role. But if they were going to keep it, I need to think about that. Who would you think?
There's a guy by the name of, top of my head, is Mackie, Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie? You think he could be Black Panther?
Yes. He's up and Anthony coming.
Mackie. Let me say that. No, he's not up and coming in my book. Like, I love Anthony Mackie. I know what he's been in. He's been in
Hurt Locker.
No, he was talking about She Hate Me, the Spike Lee joint. And then my favorite, The Adjustment Bureau.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like he was also in, I think that was him in the Misadventures, or I forgot what, of Mr. and Pete. I don't know if you've seen that film. It's really phenomenal.
He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah, exactly. He's amazing, but I don't know if I want to see him as Black Panther.
But I could see him, and who else? I mean, I tried to think about who would could if they, and I think they will do a part two because they know it's going to make money, but.
I thought they said that they were going to retire it.
We'll see. You know how they do. They like, they tell you no, they'll tell you no sequel. It won't. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a sequel. So, so I'm hoping that they will do it because it would just be good. I think it'd be really good for everyone if we could, you know, but they have to cast it correctly because if you do not do it correctly, you know, the poor guy who takes that role and doesn't do well, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I can even think of anyone who I think could do it and, like, create the continuity between Chadwick's performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. I'll probably have to tell us in episode 4. I'm going to be thinking about it all week.
You didn't even think Idris? Doesn't come to mind, maybe?
I think Idris is too old. I think, yeah. I mean, no harm, you know.
I don't know how old Idris is. Idris is
what? I think the Black Panther needs to be someone who's still like up and coming and young. I was thinking, what is his name? John David Washington, Denzel's son?
Okay.
I actually think that he would be the right fit either.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to think about that. I'm going to be thinking about that all week. I'll let you know next week.
Okay. Well, I think Anthony Mackie would be a good fit. From my perspective, I think he would be because I just think that from what I've seen him do, I think he'd get in shape. That's for sure. You know, because he's.
I haven't seen him recently.
Yeah, he's shapely for a guy. I put it that way.
Shapely for a guy.
Yeah. Go online, put in Anthony Mackie.
I don't know what he looks like, but I haven't seen him recently. I was thinking of, I feel like if there were another superhero character, I would love to see the guy that was the lead in Lovecraft Country. I can't remember his name right now. It's blanking on me. I remember every single picture, but I cannot remember his name right now.
Lovecraft.
Yeah, let me actually. Okay. But I think that he would be a great superhero. I mean, because he almost played one in Lovecraft Country. But I don't know if I could see him as
the Black Panther.
As the Black Panther, right. Jonathan Majors is his name.
Okay, Jonathan Majors. Okay, I heard that name before. Okay.
Yeah. I think he would be an awesome superhero, but maybe not Black Panther. But I would love to see him in a Marvel movie.
Okay, well, you know what? I just make these videos all the time about the top black actors, and everybody that I would choose, they would turn out to be, big time. So,
Like who else? Who else have you chosen?
Chadwick Boseman, I've chosen. Anthony Mackie, I've chosen.
Would you say Anthony is big time? Like, has he done TV?
He's not as big as he's going to be.
Okay, I like that.
But he definitely has the resume, that's for sure. But he's gonna be he, now that I mean, sad to say, Chadwick Boseman is not with us, but he's gonna replace everything that Chad would have got. He's gonna take that role. He's
Wow.
going, yeah. That's what I can see. And actually, I saw an article a few days ago that said Anthony Mackie is now the man.
Wow.
You
Okay.
know.
Okay.
So, and I could see that as soon as when I heard Chadwick had passed away, I said, oh, Anthony Mackie is up next.
What about this? So there's a lot of the British black actors are doing a lot of American roles now. So, Daniel Kaluuya was in Judas and the Black Messiah, and he was amazing in that. But could you see him as a Black Panther?
I could see him as well. The problem with him would be, he might not have that universal appeal that they're looking for.
So why not?
I think because the roles that I've seen him play, he hasn't displayed any sex appeal, and I
Really?
think that's a
You didn't think he,
no.
oh, you haven't seen Judas and the Black Messiah yet then, have you?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay. Yeah, I want
So
you to
there is some
watch that
sexiness
and
in
then
there.
see if you think feel the same way.
Okay. I'm only reason I haven't seen it because I'm like on the fence about buying HBO Max.
Oh, you don't have
If
HBO Max? So that means that you
no.
didn't see I May Destroy You?
No, I haven't seen it because I'm on the fence about buying it. And I'm
Oh
just
my
like
God.
the
If anything, I May Destroy You is worth buying it. Like, that
okay.
was the best TV I've ever seen. It
Because
was
I'm like,
troubling. It was clever. It was the best I've ever seen. Michaela
okay, because
Cole is a rock star because she produced it, she wrote it, she starred in it. It was amazing. I've never seen anything that like troubled me and was as thought-provoking and well done as
oh,
that.
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have three things that I want to see then, because with that, because I wasn't going to buy it for one movie, but I know that with Tina coming out, with Black Judas and that third one that you just mentioned, that's
I May
enough of
Destroy
an
You, but
indicator.
then you also have to watch Lovecraft Country. Like, if you're gonna get it, you just gotta watch all the good stuff.
Okay, well, it seems like all the good stuff is there, so
Exactly.
I'll
And
do
then
it.
the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion, that's on there too.
Really? Okay,
Yeah, that was great too.
so I'll pay the $15 a
Yeah,
month.
it's worth it.
And
It's
okay,
worth
it's
it.
worth it. Okay.
It's worth it. Great. Let's go back to Chadwick Boseman a little bit, but
Okay.
thinking about all of the people and actors that he's worked with, because he's also like, because the better actor you are, the better movies you get to play in, so the better
You're right.
co-stars that you have. What's your favorite co-star that Chadwick's worked with?
Of course, Viola Davis.
I knew you were gonna say that, and that's
Yeah.
who I was gonna say.
I'm in love with Viola Davis. I mean,
What's your favorite role that she's been in?
my favorite role that she's played, is so many of them. It's just so difficult because everyone she does, she's but there's a scene in Doubt. She's only in Doubt for
Yes,
like
I loved
eight
out.
minutes.
Exactly. I just saw that last year for the first time,
But I watched
or the
that
year before.
eight minutes over. I've probably seen it 30 times just for that scene.
You know
It's
what I heard?
so
I heard that in that role is after when her career took off, not just because of her performance, because Meryl Streep is a real ally and spoke her name in rooms after working with her on that project.
She did. Actually, during a award ceremony, she the Writers Guild, I believe. She actually, during her winning an award, she actually said, "Somebody, please give her a role, give her a movie."
Wow, that's awesome. You know? But yeah, she was great in that. I will have to say that I can't think of all of the things because I didn't really look at the list of all of the things. But I'll say that I enjoy her most, and like, I love her the most in How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah, she's
like,
she's
I
awesome.
Really just love how authentic she is. And especially, I still remember, because this was the time before I got really heavy into streaming and would just watch things whenever. But I remember the Thursday night on primetime TV when she took her wig off and took her makeup off on primetime TV. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, that was amazing.
The real deal.
Yeah, she is.
She is.
She is.
You know, and to know that was her idea. And then she had to negotiate that. She said that it took them hours of negotiation before they approved that by ABC.
I'm sure.
So, I can sit and listen to her for hours. I have. Every interview I could find about her, I think I've seen every interview on YouTube I've been able to find. I've seen it.
Wow. So. Wow. She is phenomenal. And I really hope her career continues to explode. And that she does a lot more. I wonder if she's interested in directing at all. Cause I would be interested to get her perspective from a director's point of view.
Yeah, she's another one that I would love to have on the show. And I believe that she would actually do it, you know. But she has a movie. I definitely plan to. If you look at my list of people that I want to invite on the show, she's on my list.
Okay.
Of people that I would love to have. And she's actually, I've seen her do interviews with podcasters.
Okay.
She's done it, you know, so she's down to
earth. Well, I will
hold
that with you. We will have Viola Davis on Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney.
Oh my God. I would probably spend the first 30 minutes crying.
Okay, so we're definitely going to have to practice.
Before, you know, because she is so awesome. I seen her, and like, before she blew up, I watched her interviews then, and still humble.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
I follow her on Instagram, and I just really enjoy the content that she creates. I just appreciate so much her energy. She was on one of my vision boards before I cut off all my hair. Like, her haircut was my inspiration.
Oh wow. Okay.
But I remember she's been on like the OWN show Black Love, and they talk about how her husband met. Yeah, you know, I just I really admire her and appreciate her. And then, you know, she's a talented actor, so.
Yeah, she'd be acting like Cicely Tyson up to the end. I mean, she's
I hope so.
She's that phenomenal. You know, she just knows the role and how to infuse that humanity in every role she takes on. And if she can't, she won't do it. Right. She doesn't have to do it now.
This is really frivolous, but have you seen the picture that she posted after she did Ma Rainey? Because she put on weight to take on that role. And she posted a picture of her working out with her trainer. And I don't know if you remember when Michelle Obama was in the White House with Barack, and her arms, Michelle's arms, were like the goal. If you haven't seen Viola Davis holding these like 15-pound dumbbells, looking all glammed up with her trainer, like, her body goals, like, for real.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I definitely have to look
at I'll find it and send it to you. But yeah, it's I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. She has a new movie coming out later this year about these African warriors that she's going to be in, that she's producing with her husband.
Oh, awesome. So, I can't wait to see that. And you know, this might just be still in the rumor mill, but I looked up recently, because, you know, I don't know if you ever look up on IMDb. Sometimes it'll show like projects that are just announced that aren't like, so it may happen, it may not happen. But I saw something called, I don't know if it was called the White House or if it was called the First Lady. I think it's called First Lady. And it said that Viola Davis was going to be in it playing Michelle Obama.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Wait, the arms.
Yeah.
She got, in my book, she's got the part.
Well, she's probably looking out for that role. She might be looking out for that role right now.
Maybe so. But I'm really hoping that it happens. And when I was looking at like the other cast people, it looks like it's going to be a look at all the first wives. So other first women. And so I didn't have the time to like Google to see who's behind it and if it really is going to happen. But Go check on IMDb
Okay,
and
I'm glad you mentioned First Women because I saw a little article about Jackie Onassis and she had some things, disparaging things to say about Martin Luther King. But that's
Oh,
another
really?
story. Yeah, look it up. It's she had she's you know she, these recordings they had of her that were never released, and her daughter finally released them,
Oh,
and
wow.
she gives her real opinion of how she feels about things.
Well, can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah, well,
All right, any
so.
last words on Chadwick Boseman?
God bless his family. God bless his family because it's hurtful to lose a loved one, but it's comforting when you have the world saying your brother or your son or is what's just, it's awesome, what's great. So that at least they have that to give to honor him. So
I just wanted to share something I saw on Instagram about him. Like after his passing, people were posting tributes and things like that. And there was someone who was saying, I want to say, I can't remember if they were fighting cancer or if they were a cancer survivor or something like that, or whatever, or they were dealing with something and they were returning to running and they were running in their neighborhood. And they felt like giving up, like in this very moment. And they looked up. And there was a black limousine and some guy in a tuxedo got out and he's like, you can do it, you can do it. And so the guy like continued to run. And as he got closer, he realized that it was Chadwick
Oh,
Boseman. And he
wow.
was so moved by that because he inspired him in that moment. And the Chadwick didn't know who he was. And he was there to re he was in a tuxedo because it was some award show happening that night. And that's when the guy was watching the award show later and recognized that it was Chadwick Boseman. And just, felt even more inspired that someone who was winning an award is cheering him
Yeah.
on in a hard part in his life. So I think that that should inspire all of us
Yeah, that
to
speaks to the
find
kind of human
ways to
being he was.
inspire. Exactly. We should all find moments to inspire everyone wherever we go. So that's, I think
Wow.
that can be a wonderful legacy for him.
Yeah, I think you took my inspiration moment.
Well, let's go ahead and move into that segment. What do you got for who gets
Well,
inspired?
this sort of piggybacks off of the conversation we had last week. And one thing that I think our podcast does is it shows us that we don't, I have a, we're not pundits and we don't have a perspective that is stagnant. You know, we're here to learn from each other and see a broader perspective. So last week you were talking about policing holistically and you know, I don't believe in defunding the police, but I believe that we do need to take a look at how we do police and use funding and resources in an appropriate way and training and this new thing that Denver has done. What Denver has done is they've taken steps in the right direction. They have started hopefully what will be a new trend in terms of policing. Instead of responding with police, Denver is sending health care teams to non-criminal calls. And so far, it is already saving lives.
Oh,
There's a
amen.
so Denver has started something called the Support Team Assistance Response, the STAR program. They launched this program back in June of 2020 to help ensure the vulnerable get the help they need. And so far, they have had, when I read this article, they had almost 750 calls that STAR had addressed
Great.
and to low-level calls, and none have ended in arrest or jail time. And they push $1.4 million to expand this service because it's so successful.
There we go.
And
There we go.
there you
Absolutely. This is
go.
great.
And the people who are the great people who are working on this program, they are working 8-hour shifts, but it covers all hours of the week.
Exactly. This is affordable. It's doable. It's
It's
doable. Way to
doable.
go, Denver.
Yeah, way to go, Denver. And due to Black Lives Matter protests, it seems likely that increasing numbers of police departments around the world will follow in Denver's footsteps, turning inward. Turning inward to see what can be done to improve the relationship between the officers and their communities to make everyone feel safe.
I love that.
You know, yeah,
I
it
think
made me
that's a
feel
great
like
follow-up.
if That would have been the case for Daniel Prude, who was having a mental illness crisis. He could possibly be still here today if those
Absolutely.
individuals had been called.
Several people would probably still be here today.
Yeah, meaning, yeah, you're right.
That's great. That's a great story. I like that.
Yeah.
My
So,
heart is happy.
you did get me to see something, to broaden my perspective. So,
Woohoo!
I'm listening. I'm listening. So don't feel like, I'm not hearing you.
Awesome.
Okay. Do you have any announcements?
Well, I don't have any announcements, but I do want to let our listeners know. Thank you for still listening.
Yes.
But also to let you know that if you have any comments or anything that you want DJ and I to break down, you can get in touch with us. But you also can send us a voice message by going to anchor.fm/breakingitdownshow. And when you go there, if you do it on your phone, I think it's easier. But there's a feature there that you can leave us a message. And if you have any questions or problems doing that, you can reach us on social media as well. And additionally, it really helps the show out if you subscribe to our YouTube channel
Yes,
or
subscribe.
wherever you're listening to, if you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, wherever you can leave a comment and a review, we'd really appreciate that. So let us know what
Yes.
you think.
Yes. And also, if you go to Facebook, you do a search for Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, you can find us. And also, you can email us at breakingitdownshow@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Breakingitdownshow@gmail.com.
All
So
right,
we're always
so
happy to hear comments.
that's right. And third time's the charm. We did episode three.
The third one in the hopper.
That's right. I
Yes.
hope we get some people to come back and listen to episode four.
They're going to keep coming back. It's like KFC. Once you had a wing, you want to. No, it's not. And actually, KFC, I shouldn't even say it that
I was gonna
because,
say, I think the keep coming back belongs to somebody else. I believe that's
like crispy,
another group.
like Krispy Kreme. We like Krispy Kreme. Once you had one of our donuts, you want more.
That's their slogan either. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening.
Right, take care.